This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to this week's episode of the Just Saying Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Martindale, and have we got a show for you this week. But first, I want to give a little shout out. We have a live Just Saying here at the World Famous Comedy Store on October 30th at 8 p.m. My guest is going to be the wonderful, the fantastic drag superstar Monet Exchange. It is going to be our Halloween spooktacular. Actually, it's called Nightmare at the Store. But it's going to be a full Halloween episode. Get your tickets now at comedystore.com, 8 o'clock, October 30th. All right, with that being said, let's get into this week's episode. We have an amazing comedian. She is stunning, the hilarious. She has a special coming out this week called Hijabs Off.
Yes.
And she's in the Amazon Prime show Upload, which I highly recommend everyone go see it. It's so funny. It's Zainab Johnson.
Hey.
How are you?
Hey, Justin. I'm so good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Welcome. I'm excited. It's been a while. We've been trying to get you on for a while.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad you're here.
We made it happen.
You did. You did. Yeah. You have this special coming out.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Yes. How are you feeling? Are you on edge? Are you doing the press?
I am. I'm doing a bunch of podcasts and I am a little bit on edge. I was like excited, super excited at first. And then now as I get closer and closer, I mean, at this point, we're hours away.
You are hours away. The countdown has begun.
Yes. And I'm just like, well, now it's real. And, you know, you just like the artist in you is just like, I hope everybody likes it. It's really like bare bones in its simplest form. It's just like, I want people to like me and that's it. You know what I'm saying? Like. And so, yeah, that anxiety is there.
But you taped it in the round, right?
Yeah.
So, where?
I taped it in Harlem.
Oh, okay.
In New York City in Harlem, which is where I grew up.
All right.
And a theater is not traditionally set up in a round, but we set it up in a round. And it's completely in the round. Even a lot of the shots are moving as I'm speaking. There's a lot of shots Yeah, it has a very voyeuristic vibe, which I wanted.
Why is that?
That's the most accurate way to convey what it feels like to be in a comedy club.
Okay.
You know?
I get that.
I think specials at one point, right, were like, this is special, this is grand. So we go to a big theater or we go to, you know, like an arena and we tape it and we show how
sold out in practice.
Capacity, you know, right?
Yeah.
When like one special was coming out every 7 years or something, you know? But I feel like when I watch specials, they feel, doesn't matter how good they are, they feel like slightly false to me.
Okay.
You know?
I get that.
And I'm like, I just want the person watching at home to feel like they were actually there.
Got it.
And that was my goal in the way that we shot it.
To try to capture that intimacy of a comedy club.
Yeah, that intimacy and that sort of like, I guess that's the word.
Yeah.
You know when it's the perfect word and then you try and find another word and it's like, that's the word.
Well, you said voyeuristic and I went,
because you know, I know people.
Well, where are all these men in the bushes?
No. Here's the thing. I think voyeurs, that you would associate that with like, sex and right, like taboo behavior, but
call me old fashioned.
Voyeur is just like watching, and people don't know you're watching. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about it, like if we go upstairs, not every person has this seat in the room, this dead center right in front of you. But when you watch at home, every camera angle is going to give you that angle,
right?
Which is dead. But really, sometimes people at a comedy club, they are enjoying the shit out of you and see the side of your face the entire night,
or a beam.
That's what you know. What I'm saying?
Piano.
Yeah, the back of your head, and they still are there. For the entire 90 minutes and they ride with you, you know? And so that's what I mean by I wanted people at home to feel like, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm watching this, but I'm kind of like a fly on the wall.
Mm-hmm. You It's a big Halloween week.
Yeah.
Are you a Halloween person
at
all?
Not at all.
At all?
A little bit, no.
Nothing scary? You don't watch scary movies?
No, because I've been afraid of the dark my entire life. I think I'm out of it now.
Uh-huh.
I think I've grown out of it. I think so. Like, as long as I'm in a comfortable environment. Like, if all the lights went out right now.
Don't jinx it. It's a haunted building. You know this.
And if all the lights went out right now in the comedy store, I would get out of here. I don't even know if I could get out. I would panic and fear would take over me.
Have you ever had a ghost experience here?
I went up to, you know, in the main room to go up to like the booth. You know, you got to kind of.
With Danny, the sound guy?
Uh-huh. Yeah, you got to kind of climb up a ladder,
kinda,
crawl.
I mean, he is down. Yeah. We are tall.
Hobbit.
Something or. Yeah. No, I did the same thing. We have to like crouch.
Yeah.
He does that like every night. I don't know how he does it. It is a crawl.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you had to go up there?
Yeah. And I didn't see a ghost, but I definitely was so fearful because I've heard about this place. So I didn't even allow. It's like the ghost couldn't even come get me because I was already like, we didn't even have to show up and she got it, you know?
Ooh.
Yeah.
It is weird. It's a big Halloween weekend here in LA. Got like 3 parties this weekend.
Yeah. You like Halloween?
I do. I watched the Netflix show, The Fall of the House of Usher, which is not about next year's halftime show. And so, but it was like this family and like, it's like that show Succession, but with ghosts.
Okay.
It was fun. So I watched that last night, kind of got into the spirit. And then I don't know if you realize I'm clean shaven.
Yes.
It's giving face.
It's good.
I left the sideburns because of my costume this weekend.
Okay.
But I went to like trim my beard and the blade was off and I went, and then, so it was, and I couldn't find the charger. So I was like, well, here we go. Let's just
take it all
off. So you're getting full baby face now.
Okay. You don't want to say what your costume is going to be? Is that a surprise?
Well, I mean, I guess I can. I'm going as Elvis Presley.
Oh.
Because I've never gone as Elvis. So my boyfriend's going to go as Priscilla. So I think.
Oh, that's cute.
It's gonna be disturbingly cute. Disturbingly cute. Big Halloween weekend. And I also ate a spider.
I was waiting because it sounded like ellipses. So I was like, a spider made out of marshmallow. Like, I don't know why I thought
spider,
it was.
Spider, like in the web. And I'll tell you.
Okay.
So I had a show at the what's it called? That steak restaurant. Remember, oh my gosh, I'm forgetting the name. It's a steak restaurant on Fairfax. It's like an Irish thing. We've all done it. Maddie Fontana. It was like an outdoor theater, like COVID.
Bergen's.
Tim Bergen's.
I don't know about Tim Bergen's, but
Tim Bergen? And so I was leaving to come back up here to do a spot. And as I'm walking to my car, I'm like looking at my phone and I walk into a web. And when I walked into the web, I went, and when I went, the spider shot into the back of my throat.
Oh.
And I panicked and it was meaty. It was a meaty spider. I know. And I was like, and I started swallowing.
Oh my God.
I had water in my car and I was just like, ooh. And then I went to bed and I immediately thought about that story in Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark about the cheerleader who gets bit by a spider on her face and then all the babies come out of her face. So then I was thinking that was going to be me. I'm going to be in bed. I'm going to feel like my abdomen poking. And then there's going to be a giant sore. And then I'm Charlotte's Web, you know, in my stomach. So, yeah. So
how long ago did this happen?
This happened Friday.
Friday. So, I mean, we're not quite out the woods yet.
I know. It could be. Thanks.
Dun, dun, dun.
I know. But, like, I went to the bathroom and I'm like. Like, just picturing the worst scenario happening.
Now, you didn't try to throw up. Like,
interesting. No, I'm not going to do that. Would you do that?
I would have. I think instead of drinking water to make it go make it go down smoothly, I would have probably stuck my finger. I would have started Like, I would have tried to bring it back up.
No, I started...
And what would have been crazy is if it was still alive and it just crawled out my mouth.
That's what I was afraid of. That's why I was drinking the water. I was just like, oh, back to hell you go, you know? But, like, I can't make myself throw up. That'd be awful. Well, because then if it comes out, then I feel its legs coming out over my face, and then it crawls into my ear. Like, I can't do it.
I think that it is quite wonderful
mm-hmm.
that you walked dead smack into the center of a web.
You've never done that?
I have walked through many webs, but uh-huh. never like the center, like right at the...
You've walked through many webs? Are you Gwen Stefani? What a metaphor. I have walked through many webs.
Hey, you know, there's so many. I feel like there's more spider webs in LA than anywhere I ever go.
Well, it's funny because I told somebody this and they were like, oh, it's spider season. I'm like, dude, shut up.
What?
It is not. No, that is not a thing.
I think I have 2 spider bites on my legs right mm-hmm. now. And I was like, are these mosquito bites? And I'm like, no, these are spider bites.
It's spider bites. My friend John Hill has one on the back of his leg.
Yeah.
And it's like gigantic.
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe it is because we had a lot of rain. And then you look around and there's just like just spiders everywhere.
Yeah, there's a lot of spiders, but like never right at that point where and then the spider's still on it. And
in the middle.
Yeah, wow, that's really, you know, depending on who's telling the story, serendipitous.
Fair. Yeah. Maybe it was supposed to happen. Maybe it was like a distant relative saying hello. I don't know, but it did scare the shit out of me. And I was just like, well, I can add that.
It's
and then
done.
I started thinking about, like, I shouldn't be grossed out by this because some cultures eat insects and arachnids.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, now I'm,
I'm
just telling myself, like, it's okay.
Rationalizing
it. It's okay.
Yeah.
Maybe it's luck. Maybe I was supposed to eat this spider.
Isn't it crazy how we have to trick the brain?
Yeah.
The brain's not just like, that happened. Okay, we're like, no.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I'm in California right now, but if I were in Thailand, I'd have to pay for this.
A full-on, like, locust.
Yeah, you know.
Like, in a hot dog bun, you know? Like, that's like lunch, you know?
Yeah.
But it is funny because I told that story on stage and everyone was just, ugh.
That's how I felt a couple of seconds ago.
And I'm like, you guys just don't get it. Don't spider shame me. But speaking of shame, I wanted to talk about this because Jada Pinkett Smith.
Okay.
Jada Pinkett Smith. It was in the news, all this stuff. And
I like how you referenced the table very, like, I don't even know if you did. When you said this, I was like, oh, we talking about tables? And then you said Jada. And I was like, we kind
of. This is brown table, not red table. The brown table.
The brown table.
We talked about it with Leslie, and she just kind of went off. She compared it to an old mustard bottle that you just want to throw away, and you can't. And you put up something over
like
over
last
the week,
yeah.
And I just wanted your take on the whole Jada Pinkett and Will scenario.
So I'm actually listening to her book, Worthy.
Worthy.
Worthy. Right now.
Uh-huh.
And I actually I felt really bad for her.
Really?
Yeah. One, I'm like, they released... I was actually quite shocked because the way... All the things that they were releasing about the book, like what was in it, I'm thinking first chapter, first sentence is, Will, fuck you and everything you stand for. You get what I'm saying? That's how I thought the book was going to start.
Uh-huh.
But the book starts off, I want to say boring, but it's quite beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's only boring because you expect all of the salacious, you know, whatever. She doesn't even mention Tupac until the end of chapter 4.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
She
doesn't lead with it like everyone thought she would.
No. And I actually was listening to it on my way here, and she was talking about, like, you know, she's taking us through, like, her journey. And I had to remember, like, oh, wow. At this moment in time when I idolized Jada Pinkett, she was such a baby. She was 21 years old.
When she started acting?
She was 18 when she was cast on 18 or 19 when she was cast on A Different World.
Uh-huh.
By the time she did A Low Down Dirty Shame, she's 21 years old.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Will's calling her and he's married and she's like a 21, 22-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that you know, at one point I was like, not again. But I feel like over the past couple of days, I had to go back and see, like, wait, where did we start being mad at, like, yeah, I'm tired of seeing their personal, like, I'm tired of knowing, but that's with everybody.
Yeah, oh, everyone's, I mean, that's so everybody. Exhausting right now.
You get what I'm saying? That's like everybody. Mm-hmm. I do not care about
Taylor Courtney Swift.
I don't care about any... anybody's personal life, you know? Look, Britney came out with the abortion, and it's like, girl,
we know.
You know, don't nobody care?
We don't care.
And that's, I don't mean to sound insensitive, right. And I'm saying that to be polite.
Yes.
Girl, don't nobody care, and we especially don't care about no 20-year-old abortion.
Because, I mean, I know a lot of people who had a 20-year-old abortion, you know, or 21-year-old abortion.
Only 20-year-old abortion we care about is if the person was 20 years old and you aborted them.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Then that's the only one that you understand, because now we got to talk about murder.
Yeah, that's murder. That's
We do not care about this, you know? So I think in that regard, I get like, okay, but hey, you got to sell books. You know what I'm saying? Her life is her life.
Mm-hmm.
You can log off if you want. But I think the biggest thing I realized is like, wow, we've made Will Smith like an innocent bystander.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's really stupid of us, the public.
Because he's a man, you think? Just because he's
no,
a man?
No, not like, because of his gender, because he's an active participant. Everything that happened except for the young man's publicly speaking about his affair with her. Except for that.
The entanglement?
Yes, the entanglement. Everything is a both. She ain't say I left Will. He ain't say I left her. We both separated. We both decided this. We both decided that. We both decided. Those sound like two consenting individuals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we were both separated. We were both. It just sucked that the person she started, that she messed with, you know what I'm saying? We know Will had 92 entanglements.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I don't know that, but I feel like I can confidently say, just like the internet be confidently saying what they want to say.
Well, it all gets kind of twisted, and everyone's also, you know, Will's like the Hollywood blockbuster guy.
This is a perfect time, Justin, for me to tell you.
Yes.
That, you know, I too had a run-in with Will.
Okay.
And, you know...
And we got jiggy with it. Oh, my God. You heard it first. And I've got jiggy with it.
One time I was visiting L.A. And I think I was in college and I was visiting L.A. And I was on the set of their show. They starred Tony Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And Jada and Will were the executive producers. And Will was on set. They were both on set. Jada was directing the episode and Will was there having a good time. And it was like, anybody want, you know, when the warm-up comic is like throwing candy, hitting people with Snickers
bars. Throwing candy, t-shirts.
Yeah, exactly.
DVDs.
Offering Starbucks gift cards. You know what I'm saying? Anything to get the audience going.
Right in the middle of the forehead. Just hit them. Wake them up. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're like, anybody got a special talent? And I'm like, yeah, I could rap, but I cannot rap.
Why did you say that?
Because I knew what I was going. You know how you know what you're going.
I can rap, but I can't.
No. Okay. I could not rap at all. I never said that before in my life. I knew I couldn't rap.
Okay, and?
They was like, oh, you can rap?
Oh, God.
Where are you from? I was like, I'm from New York. So now they really believe, you know what I'm saying? They're like ignorant. They're like, oh, she's from New York. She must really be able to rap, right? And so they give me the mic and I go, in West Philadelphia, born and raised on most of my days, just really, you know.
Uh-huh.
And Will Smith is down there and everybody on the set. And Will's like, hey, everybody joins along. And it was a really good old time. And so I'm going to keep that memory of the Smiths.
Oh, so you kind of, you brought it. You showed the talent. You showcased it.
I mean, I sounded terrible, but it was just
commitment.
Like the commitment. Everybody sang along. Will sang along. It's like, you get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, I kind of did the warm-up comics job.
Worthy. Well.
How do you feel about it?
I mean, I get it. It's none of my business, but we have to talk about it, you know?
We do not have to.
Listen up, Just Sayers. Did you know that we're eating and drinking roughly a credit card's worth of plastic a week? We sure are. The products that we're using every day are ultimately contaminating our water supply, generating hundreds of microplastics that we end up ingesting. You heard me, ingesting. So Blue Land set out to do something about it. Eliminate the need for single-use plastic in the products we reach for the most. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you as well as the planet. Their idea is simple. They offer endlessly refillable cleaning products with a beautiful cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Just fill your bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. That easy. You'll never ever have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. I'll tell you why I love Blue Land products, because I love the Clean Essentials pack. Comes with everything I need, all in one package directly to your door. And I'm talking foaming hand wash, multi-surface cleaner, bathroom cleaner, glass and mirror cleaner, all in one, direct to your door. Blue Land has a special offer for you listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/justsayin. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/justsayin, J-U-S-T-S-A-Y-I-N, for 15% off. That's blueland.com/justsayin to get 15% off. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Just Sayers, you know what to do during the day. You got to take your kids to school. You got to go get your groceries, run your errands, check your social media. And all of that combined is so exhausting. Trust me, I know. But you can't let your brain get in the way. I know I have a hard time falling asleep at night. You know, when you're trying to go to sleep and you want to shut your brain off, but you can't because that sleep demon's on the side just going, remember everything that happened today? It's going to happen again tomorrow. And you're just like, get out of here, sleep demon. Well, here's a great way to help with that. BetterHelp. Every week, I'm very fortunate that I get to sit one-on-one with one of my dear friends, and we just get to discuss things like normal people. And I feel comforting. I feel like I can be myself. I can be authentic. And that is exactly what BetterHelp is going to help you with. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Isn't that great? They make time for you. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Make your brain your friend with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/sayin, S-A-Y-I-N, today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/sayin, S-A-Y-I-N. Trust me, your brain will thank you. But we can talk about one of the biggest moments that's happening this week.
Which is?
Britney Spears' book, The Woman in Me, is coming out. apparently, it's her first memoir. Uh-huh. Everyone's losing it. However, can we stop talking about it? You're giving away all the chapters. Everything. There's so many details. Everyone's freaking out about what she's going to say, what she's not going to say. And pretty much everything that I gathered over the weekend, I kind of already knew. Yeah. I knew there was an affair with Wade Robson.
Yeah.
The backup dancer. What you mentioned earlier, that abortion at 19. But they also, remember when they were like, oh, we're virginal, we're both virgins? Remember when, like, being a virgin was cool?
Yeah, I mean, I...
like, Jessica Simpson, like, late 90s virgins were, like, in. And then the Jonas Brothers were like, we're virgins, too. And we're like, get out of here, Jonas. Then she released, like, I lost my virginity in high school. So now I'm like, now you're lying to us all. And then she goes, the newest additions were how much she hates her sister, Jamie Lynn, which we all do because we kicked her off of Dancing with the Stars second this season.
Okay.
And that she actually has text messages we're seeing to Jamie Lynn that she puts in the book, which I'm like, oh, like that's like your family. You know what I mean?
At the end
of the day. And then we have her audition tape for The Notebook, which was released. So
wait, the audition tape is in the book? Is
no,
this an
they
interactive
released her,
book?
She talks about auditioning. She was in the final three girls to be in The Notebook.
Oh.
Which is just like,
that would have been a different
wouldn't
movie.
Wouldn't that be weird?
How do you put Britney Spears with Rachel McAdams?
You don't.
Dang, I do know white stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And she was in Crossroads. Did you ever see Crossroads?
That's with Zoe Saldana?
Mm-hmm.
I know of it.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was just like, Mama, it's me, Lucy. And Kim Cattrall shuts her door on her face. My favorite part. So there was all these other things. Then it was talking about Justin Timberlake and everyone's kind of villainizing him, which I think is interesting just because he's like, you know, the American, you know, boy pop star next door. Everyone, you know what I mean? Like,
okay,
I felt like
allow me to give an uninformed take.
Sure.
I think the reason why they're villainizing Justin Timberlake is because for a very long time he played, like, he plays victim in a lot of things.
Yes.
And they directly affect the female star at the time, which is like, he did come out with that video making it seem like Britney had broke his heart.
Yes.
Right? He did play innocent when Janet's titty popped out, although he knew the titty was popping out.
And did apologize forever.
Forever, yeah. So I think that people are just kind of tired of his, like, the facade of exactly what you're saying, being like an all-American good boy, you know?
When he himself has been caught cheating on Jessica Biel, was done. I think he also cheated on Britney too. Mm-hmm. But the big thing that I got over the weekend was that he broke up with her over text.
He broke up with Britney over text?
Yeah. While she was doing one of my favorite songs, Overprotected. What a banger. What a deep cut. That's Overprotected is such a good video. She looks amazing. But she was on set doing that video and he texted her, "It's over." That's it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So she had to sing Overprotected, where she's saying the lines, "I need time, I need space, I need me, say hello to the girl who I could just do the whole song." Like, and I don't wanna be so damn protective. Yeah. So she's singing Overprotective. He says it's over. So, like, you know, her head just exploded, I'm sure.
Okay, this is me. I'm totally devil's advocate. Like, it'll be the death of me, right?
Okay.
But how old were they? Like, to break up via text when you're 21 years old?
She's 20, 21, yeah.
That makes sense to me. It's like, we're asking for a whole lot of emotional maturity from people. Yeah,
still kids.
That's why I hate when this stuff comes out years later, because then you start to judge, like, the 45-year-old. You get what I'm saying? You're like, but wait a minute. It's like, yo, I was 17. I was sick. Even with the abortion, it's like, yeah, girl, that makes sense. Y'all had an abortion. You at the time. Sorry, I didn't mean to say abortion now.
It's fine.
Can you imagine outside of, you guys, abortion.
Every time Zainab says it, take a drink. I get it, though.
But you guys are kids.
And I think when you're 2021, like, that's how you broke up over text.
Yeah, over text.
Like, there was a whole culture of that. Like, he broke up with me over text, you know. You've got this queen. You don't need him.
But I'm always so, like, what do people want? I remember a girlfriend of mine, she was so pissed because she goes to dinner with she's with a guy, and he takes her to this expensive restaurant. They have this lovely dinner. And then she comes back to my place, and she's crying. She's pissed. And I'm like, what's going on? And she's like, he broke up with me. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. She was like, and can you believe it? He, like, bought that expensive dinner and took me to that nice restaurant just to break up with me. And I'm like, wait a second. That sounds great. It sounds like...
You want that?
Like, I mean, the breakup sucks
right,
if you want to be with the person, but I don't understand what's so bad about...
An elaborate final dinner?
Yeah, having Moet and lobster. Like, I don't get... But she was... That was the part that she was pissed at. You know, like, how could he do this? How could he make this grand gesture and then break up with me?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you know, there's girls that are just getting...
Carl's Jr.
Yeah, well, there's girls just getting a text message, like, bye.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, what? Either way, it's over.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really excited about this. However, my big question is there going to be, like, press for this book? Is she going to, like, that's what I want. We freed her. You know, she's dancing around in her kitchen with her knives. We've given her so much press. I've talked about her. Everyone's kind of talked about her ever since, you know, COVID, really, when she got on Instagram and she's like, hey, guys, you know, and we were like, oh, God.
Britney Spears posts an Instagram video in her underwear every single day. She do not need no press.
I know.
Last week, she
was playing
with
knives. Do you know how many gay guys are going to be her for Halloween?
I can imagine.
Like, so many are going to wear the halter top, the jeans, the wig, and, like, the two kitchen knives.
You told me earlier somebody sent you a knife. That's probably why they sent you the knife. They
so I can be Britney Spears. Yeah. They're like, this is your true calling. You're going to be Britney Spears.
You got the underwear.
You got
now,
the,
here you
yes,
go.
I do. I do have the Britney panties on right now. But yeah, I'm interested to see how the book goes. I'm going to read it. I mean, hopefully it's an easy read. I think it's going to be like 3 pages that I can color. But it's going to be like one giant paragraph with emojis.
Does it say written by Britney Spears or does it say, like, is there another author?
It's saying it's the author, but it's also the audiobook is the intro by Michelle Williams? Do we know?
No. Oh, the audiobook. Yeah, she's reading the audiobook.
Britney's reading the intro to the audiobook, but Michelle Williams is reading the actual audiobook.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I don't think Britney wrote her book.
Really? What do you mean? If it's like an eloquent, like, structured book, I'm going to be like, something's off.
Yeah, no.
However, it's a big week because... Let's feel old for a second, or at least me. Baby One More Time came out 25 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Today.
Yeah.
Hit me, baby, one more time. 25 years ago. And this week, some iconic songs have come out, which I had no idea about. Rehab by Amy Winehouse.
Oh, wow.
Adele, Hello had come out.
Wait, not 25 years ago.
No. Just this week.
It's a big
spark in the pop music.
Okay.
Positions by Ariana Grande came out this week. So there's a whole bunch of like pop songs. And I'm ready. I need some new music. I'm over the Britney Taylor Jada.
Okay.
Fall.
Okay.
Like
let's move.
Before we get, you know, bludgeoned by Mariah Carey Christmas.
Yeah.
But Paris Hilton, she recently became a mother.
Oh. By surrogate?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And
ain't it funny how you just know some people? You just know, like, girl, I know you ain't carrying no baby. I just know it.
What do you mean? Like she didn't have it?
Yeah, like she didn't carry it. Like, it's hers to have.
It's hers to have.
Yeah, and I don't have a problem with it. I think it's great. But I'm just saying how you know people. Like, if you could have said somebody else, and I would have just known that they carried it. And then, you know what I'm saying? There's somebody else, I'd have known they stole the baby. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you got to know who you know. You know what I'm saying?
You have to know when you know.
Yeah.
That would be a good game show. Did you steal that baby? That would be great. But she just came out. I love that she's now considered a reality star and a DJ. She has a new show, a second season of a show called Paris in Love. I think that's the name of it. Yeah, I think it's true. Or Love
what
in Paris.
What if Emily
or
goes
Night
to
in Paris? Why does everything sound like a porn with her? Well, yeah, I know. But she went on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon and she revealed her son's first word. Do you know the first word? Just guess what a baby's first word would be. What would Paris Hilton's baby's first word be?
Yeah.
That's it.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yo.
You totally guessed that. Paris Hilton's baby's first word was yeah.
Yeah.
Not
Are you
hot.
Lying?
No, swear. Look, it's right up here. So she says she's opening up about her son, Phoenix.
Yeah.
She named her son Phoenix because she's always wanted a kid with the name of a city or a country or a state. So she went with Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah.
I don't know why she didn't name it Hampton or, you know, Ibiza.
Yeah.
But she went with Phoenix. So she says, it's always been a dream to be a mother, and I'm so happy that my husband Carter and I found each other. We're so excited to start our family together, and our hearts are exploding with love for our baby boy. And the baby is very, very cute. But I want you to see a picture of the baby. So, and that's Paris Hilton's baby Phoenix.
You know what they say on reality shows? They say the kids is off limits.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't make fun of nobody's kids.
Mm-hmm.
So, congratulations to Paris. You know what I'm saying? Congratulations to her and her family. I wish them nothing but the best.
Yeah. I know. That's a cute. I mean, look,
You know what I'm saying? You know how it's babies, you see just God in them. You get what I'm saying? That's what you got to focus on. Mm-hmm. You know.
It's a cute baby. But part of me just wants to be like Austin Powers. And just be like, hid! Move! It's so, yeah. But I mean, also, I wish, here's the thing. It makes me laugh because I feel like, yes, is such like a gay term.
Yeah.
So it's like, say if this child gets to be a certain age mm-hmm. and is like, Mom, I need to come out and say I'm gay. Mm-hmm. Like, what a moment for her to be like, I knew.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What do you mean you knew? Well, your first word was yes. Like, God, I wish I had that moment. I don't even know what my first word was. Mom, if you know, remember what my first word was, let me know because I have no idea. But let's get into some more exciting news. Okay. Rihanna.
Riri.
Ooh, she's been secretly planning a huge $32 million comeback world tour and has two albums lined up following her hiatus from music. How are we feeling?
Believe it when I see it.
Right?
I mean, I think that I was never really like a huge, at the very beginning, I wasn't like a huge Rihanna music fan. Like, I'm a fan of Rihanna, mm-hmm. you know? Like, I like the persona of Rihanna. But the early music, I wasn't really a fan of. And then I remember I kind of got, it piqued my interest when she did Umbrella, that kind of, I was like, okay, this feels more like my vibe, right? And then the most recent album. Oh my God, it was so good. What when she has
I don't even remember what her most recent. You mean 8 years ago? Most
yeah,
recent?
Yeah. But it has it. Well,
was it that
no,
one?
No.
We found love in a home.
No. She has work. Yeah. I think on this one.
That one.
And it's like, oh, what's Rihanna's most? Anyway, yeah. Such a good album. So it's like I'm here for like a Rihanna tour in her music, but like. She said the music is coming a couple of times.
Yeah. But I mean, also, she had two babies. So it was like...
Anti.
It's her most recent album?
Yeah.
Yeah, God, that was 2016.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm. 7 years ago. That album is so good. It's so good.
See, I liked... I'm trying to think of what my favorite Rihanna song was. It's probably... the one with Sean Paul. Didn't she have one with Sean Paul? No.
An album with Sean Paul? No, Beyonce had a song with Sean Paul.
That was, yeah, I didn't know.
Baby girl, you're on my mind.
Rihanna had Panda Replay, though. Oh, yeah.
That's the first
yeah,
one.
Very
yeah,
first
that
album.
Was like, oh, no.
Yeah. I like Found Love in a Hopeless or Hopeless Place. Mm-hmm, that was a good one, but I couldn't do. Umbrella was not it for me.
I understand that.
I said it. It was just, Ella, hey. It sounded like a car alarm outside. But I get it. It was iconic, sure. But
yeah, it was black and white.
But the big, yes, it was. Uh-huh. The big goof of the whole thing would be if she was like, no, actually, like, I'm giving you two albums and a tour. But if she does this tour, is she going to fall into the Taylor Swift, Beyonce, now we're going to make it a movie?
Possibly. I don't see why.
I think that's the new route. I think that's going to happen.
Like, why not? Why not turn it? The thing that I most consume from Beyonce is her live Coachella performance.
Mm-hmm.
I watched that over and over and over. And so the fact that people weren't doing that, but I guess they were, you know, but I guess now these are the artists of my generation and I'm like appreciating it. It's like, why not put it in them? If your fans are going to consume that, I mean, that's literally like what we do, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like musicians do it the opposite way. They record an album and then they tour that album. But comedians, we tour an hour and then we record it and put it out.
Yeah.
And musicians are like, listen, we're going to put this album out, then we're going to tour it, and then we're going to give you the visuals, not by way of videos, because people ain't watching videos no more. We're going to give it to you by way of, you know, a theatrical release. I think that that's really smart.
Yeah, I think, and the fact that Beyonce is doing that with her visuals is incredible.
Oh, you know, Beyonce visuals going to be sick. I went up on a show, right? I went up right after you and you were talking about Taylor's movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And right when I got over stage, I said, you know, we're going to let the black people, going to let the white people, we're going to let y'all have that because, we know Beyonce visuals coming and you know what I'm saying?
You literally Kanye'd me. You were like, Justin, I'm going to let you finish.
There was a couple of people in the audience like, I said, listen, I know you mad, but you know what I'm saying? I ain't got nothing against Taylor, but we gonna let her have this. Beyonce showed up to say, you got this, girl, because she know when her movie drops, those visuals are going to be disgusting.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Beyonce's waiting for Taylor to stream on HBO Max, yes. And then she's going to hit in there.
And then she's going to show you how it's really
knock
done.
Knock Nicole Kidman's wig off.
Yeah,
exactly.
I would love that AMC trailer. Nicole Kidman's, I would love that. Oh my God, Beyonce, you have to do that. Have Nicole Kidman go into AMC, empty ass AMC.
It breaks my heart because every time, and I've talked about it on this podcast so many times, that Nicole Kidman trailer, just because we need to change the movies up.
So here's the thing. The Nicole Kidman trailer might be the most out of touch thing I've seen.
Why is that?
And Nicole.
Oh, because she rents out a theater by herself? Because
she walks.
Yeah, I know.
My friend said, I bet you money Nicole Kidman never been in an AMC.
She's never been in an AMC.
I said.
She has an AMC in her house.
Wait, I said they recorded it in an AMC. She said, if you think that's a real AMC.
No. No, that's so. It's
they
just some soundstage.
They built a set in her bathroom. Yeah.
That she's just visiting for the first time.
The magic.
I have
of
this
movie.
Bathroom. Yeah, exactly.
She's in a full tuxedo suit. The magic of movies. Yeah. Girl, shut your ass up. And why ain't your face moving? Just God dang, shut up.
But my favorite is when it's the movie she's watching. It's like The Lost World. Like, what? She's watching, what's the other one? It's like
she went to Will Smith. She went to a matinee. You know, when they show old movies, Nicole Kidman likes the discounted ticket.
She's cheap. Nicole Kidman's cheap.
She went to AMC on Tuesday at 12
yes,
o'clock.
I know. It's the only time she has off from her busy schedule.
On Valentine's Day 1929, a group of gangsters was massacred in a cold Chicago garage. The crime shook the country, and even though investigators had only just started looking for answers, everyone was sure they already knew who was behind the crime. Al Capone. Hi, I'm Jeremy Schwartz, host of the new true crime history podcast, American Criminal. We take you inside the minds of some of our most notorious felons and outlaws, exploring the dark side to the American dream. In our latest season, a child of Italian immigrants sets out to make good on the promises of that dream. But Al Capone's path to success doesn't take him down the straight and narrow. Instead, he transforms himself from a smarter-than-your-average thug into the most infamous criminal America has ever known. Listen to American Criminal Al Capone wherever you get your podcasts. Or to get early ad-free access to the entire season first, plus hundreds of other ad-free history podcast episodes, subscribe at IntoHistory.com.
Yes, I love it. I'm excited. If Rihanna does have a tour, they're expecting it 2024, 2025, with an deal with Live Nation. So this, you know what? She had two kids. She's done Fenty. She's done the fashion shows. Mm-hmm. I say let her tour. If she wants to tour, let her tour.
Doesn't. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You're still going to love her.
Yeah.
She did the Super Bowl. And I felt like even that wasn't good enough. She like showed up 8 months pregnant on like suspended in air, like on two strings. And people were like, it wasn't giving. It's like, what do you want, people? Good God. So.
It was giving, I do what I want.
It was giving, I do what I want, and you're welcome.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
And then she did her songs and was like,
but I have a question.
Yeah.
Why even announce stuff like that? Like, could you imagine if I was like, Justin, we're going to go to coffee in 2025.
Oh.
Girl, I will see you. Like, tell him what, girl? Your notifications are way off. You know what I'm saying? Like, what? Who cares what you're, like, who cares about the deal you just closed?
And then we leak it to the press. Zainab and Justin are getting coffee in 2025. And everyone's like, give it to us. Where are they going? Which Starbucks? Will it be oat milk? Like, everyone just loses it. Having a hard time figuring out what to eat? Well, have I got a solution for you. Green Chef is the number one meal kit for eating clean. Feel your best during the busy fall season with delicious, nutritionist-approved recipes featuring clean ingredients with no artificial colors, sweeteners, high fructose corn syrup, and limited added sugar and limited processed ingredients. Choose from recipes featuring lean proteins like turkey and sockeye salmon, scallops and shrimp, certified organic whole fruits and vegetables, organic cage-free eggs, and plenty of whole grain options. Kickstart your clean eating routine with over 80-plus weekly options featuring nutritionist-approved and foodie-approved recipes. Choose from our 8 meal preferences, including new, quick and easy, calorie-smart, delicious discoveries, and plant-based options. I got the Mediterranean plan, and I gotta tell you guys, I loved the Mediterranean chicken artichokes and roasted red peppers, pepita pesto, Brussels sprouts, yum, 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 yum. It's so hard to find the time to go to the grocery store and figure out what to cook and find all the ingredients. I hate wasting food, and you can't always buy just what you need, and that's what makes Green Chef's portioned ingredients the best. There is no waste. Check clean eating off your to-do list this jam-packed fall with our new quick and easy recipes, ready in 25 minutes. Green Chef makes dinner so easy because they give you everything you need for dinner, organized in one convenient kit bag. Think less waste, easier cooking, and easier cleanup. Eating well doesn't have to be boring. Feel your best this fall and satisfy your cravings with adventurous eats made nutritious. Discover exciting new flavors with recipes that feature certified organic fruits and vegetables, sustainably sourced seafood, and unique farm fresh ingredients like tart cherries, truffle zest, and rainbow carrots. Go to greenchef.com/60justsayin and use code 60justsayin to get 60% off plus free shipping. That's greenchef.com/60justsayin and use code 60justsayin to get 60% off plus free shipping. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well. After an exhausting tour that Rihanna will be on, I found this out. I was like, she needs to do some relaxation. Okay. And I found this article. And I don't know if you were familiar with it, that sitting in a hot tub for 30 minutes could be just as beneficial for health as going for a run, research from Coventry University in the UK has found. The healing effects of water stretch back centuries, and hot water immersion or hot water healing is practiced for spiritual, mindful, and health reasons all over the world. This professor studied the mood, heart rate, blood pressure, blood flow, cortisol, thermal perception, and anxiety of healthy participants between the ages of 26 and 60. Mm-hmm. Talk about a workout that I could get into.
Wait, we gotta condense that for like the layman's.
Okay.
So basically, relaxing is the same as going for a jog.
Yeah. You're giving your body the exact same experience that running is, but in a hot tub.
Oh, relaxing in a hot tub.
Yeah. So you're sweating, your heart rate's up, you are, let's see, the people in the study immerse themselves in a lazy spa, Majorca Hydrojet Pro, shout out, also not sponsoring this podcast, but let's make it happen. It's a square hot tub that fits up to 6 people for 3 half-hour sessions over 3 days. So what did they discover, you ask? The participants saw blood flow to their legs increase by an average of 345%, about the same impact of jogging for 30 minutes.
Mm. So you got to stay in that hot tub for 3 days?
No, not 3 days.
I'm just trying to understand.
That's pruny.
It's like they're giving us a lot of information just to sell this goddamn hot tub.
No, it's like, it's, yeah, right? They're like, no,
this is
half hour sessions for 3 days.
Oh, half hour sessions for 3 days. So that must be for people who are really active, because let me just tell you what.
Mm-hmm.
Laying in a hot tub for 30 minutes is not going to keep you in shape, okay?
Really?
Going for a run every day for 30 minutes is going to keep you in shape.
Boo. No, let a boy dream.
Listen, go lay in that hot tub.
I just want a glass of wine and be like, leave me alone. I'm working out.
You're going to have to order a larger size jean. Go sit in that hot tub.
They said, but look, participants' heart rates after being in the hot tub matched those who had gone for a fast walk. Who loves a fast walk?
Golden Girls.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Just a like a nice little shuttle walk. In addition to lowering blood pressure, the hot tub reduced cortisol, the hormone that keeps the body manage, that helps the body manage stress by 22%. So,
yeah.
Do you do saunas?
I do, but I'm also a runner. So, yeah. You know, I'm like, yeah, this will work when you are countering something that, like, these are people, that only works for people who are high stress. Mm. If a person ain't doing anything and they just laying around all day, every day, and then they get into a hot tub, guess what?
What?
They going to heat up. They going to sweat. But they ain't going to do nothing. They will not be. They will still have early onset diabetes.
Really?
Yes.
But what if there's like a charcuterie tray next to the hot tub? Like, what if there's just like, what if you have like someone with a palm frond fanning you?
That's going to be great if this, you know, they're going to have to get out before the 30 minutes is over to go to the bathroom. Because why are you eating cheese in a hot?
I would love that, though. It's like, leave me alone. I'm exercising. Thanks, lazy boy. See, exercise has been shown to reduce anxiety. So I think this article just wants to keep people lazy and in the hot tub.
Yes.
But if you want to really do it, take a class. Go run.
Do everything.
Go outside.
Yeah.
This is something that I wanted to bring up with you because I'm just going to toot your horn for a second, but consensually.
Okay. Toot.
You are one of the funniest people here that I have ever watched. I've known you for a long time. I remember when you, I think I met you and you were bald. I think that was like back in the day.
Yeah.
And every time I see you go up, you just like take my breath away because you are just gorgeous. Like Emily LaFour and I will sit in the back and we were like, why is she doing this? Why is she doing this? You are the Iman of comedy. I'm already like, you're just so just beautiful to look at and funny as well. And it's like, why are you doing stand-up? But watch her stand-up special on Amazon, please. But I wanted to talk about this because seriously, I feel like, you know, you see stand-up people and comedians. Guys and girls, and sometimes they like, you know, they'll wear a backpack, they'll wear like sweatpants. You were always just like poised and just like ka-ka, even when you were like, whatever, I throw on a pair of jeans.
Yeah,
I'm just like, but Linda Evangelista, who is a supermodel, which they had the supermodel documentary on Apple Plus. I talked about it briefly a couple episodes ago. She is slamming the use of Photoshop in shoots, and she says that filters and retouching are the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm Team Linda on this.
Mm.
I think she's onto something here. She appeared on The View on Thursday to mark Breast Cancer Awareness Month after having breast cancer twice in 5 years, and she shows that journey in the documentary. She opens up about her health, and she reveals her thoughts on the changing modeling industry. When the supermodel, 58, was asked about modeling today versus the 80s, she didn't hold back. She says, well, I have a pet peeve, a big one. I think post-production is the devil. I think filters and retouching are the devil.
Mm.
Despite admitting to getting Botox, Evangelista said she preferred the industry before retouching, which is something that I completely forgot about just because I feel like filters and retouching are such a thing now. But it's like, yeah, back in the day, those 90s girls were just like, one picture, all right, print it.
Mm-hmm.
She says, back in the day when we did a photograph, yeah, we cheated. We tied our belts so tight and put Coke cans in the back to cinch our waists. I thought she was going to say we put Coke up our nose. We held reflectors to take out the bags under our eyes. So there was lots of little, like, tricks and trades as to, like, you know, looking the best. She says they didn't retouch the photos we did. They did it perfectly on set, and what you saw was what you got. Today, it's like no matter what happens, they will a button will pop off, and they'll say, don't worry, we'll put it on later. Your eyelash will be hanging off, and they're like, we'll fix it later. She says that she's admitted to going through cosmetic procedures to alter her appearance. Along with Botox, she got cool sculpting, which left her brutally disfigured and prompted her to file a lawsuit. So,
wow.
How do you feel about the perception of beauty nowadays online? It's an interesting question, right?
Yeah.
I feel like whenever I take a picture, if I put myself online, I've never done, unless it's been funny, you know, I'll take one of those like ridiculous filters or something. But I feel like there are certain people that I see every time that I see a picture of them that has that little like filter type underneath it.
Yeah, I you know, this is like a subject that I, you know, really would not, you know, speak on because it's like I'm gorgeous. So, I'm kidding. But I've definitely like used filters before. I've gotten out of it because it can distort how you see a filter that looks perfect, and then you see yourself and you kind of, it's not helpful. I think that I could stand to lose like a lot of the retouching and stuff that's done. You know, I hear a lot of people who, you know, who worked in a different time, worked in the past, complain about what's happening now. Like I was on set and someone who worked in the film industry, you know, like in the 80s was like, no, we had to, you know, this is like now it's digital and they're just like, oh, we can, you know, but now you're doing 30 takes and because you have the tape. But when we only had one, when you had to just go over to the other factory and somebody had to pick up the film thing, you had to get, everybody knew their lines because they knew. And it's like, you know, things change for a reason. I think that while I agree with her, I think she's a little bit disillusioned. There's no way you were on the cover of a magazine and they didn't do any retouching.
Yeah.
I will admit, I just bought a book of all of Naomi Campbell's photos. Oh, it's to die for.
Is it a coffee book?
Yes, coffee table book, yes. And one of the first photos is when she's so young, she's standing there barefoot and I saw her feet and I said, oh my God, what? My first thought was like, oh my God, why didn't they retouch these feet? I mean, they bad feet. I don't know what her feet look like today.
Oh.
But them feet, them first feet.
Her first feet, her Naomi's first feet.
Oh, my God. Bunion on top. I mean, the feet going in different directions. You know, like, I mean, and I was like.
Well, that's how she can walk so well.
You know, it's just like, I was like, ooh, my thought was, why didn't they do something about this? So that is kind of what she's saying, you know, but I think like.
Oh. We're Googling Naomi Campbell's feet, guys, and we do not recommend this at home. Don't do it. Yeah. I mean, it's Naomi Campbell, for God's sake.
Yeah. She's still perfection to me. Like, visually, she's perfection.
But you're saying that Linda, like, they're, you know, she thinks, like, back in the day, we had to chase the sun. You know, it's like.
Also, back in the day, some of you guys were getting so skinny that they had to actually pass laws. They had to pass laws in fashion to say you couldn't, to weigh, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of things that need some correcting in every decade of life, you know?
Oh, you want to hear a weird story? I think this is creepy, and it just made me realize this. So there was a guy, and I'm not saying this is, like, just women, because I feel like men do the same thing, too, where it's just, like, they put on this filter where they're just like, you know, it's both sexes, everything. But there was a guy not too long ago, maybe like, I say not too long ago, like a Rihanna album. This is probably like 8 years ago, okay. 8-9 years ago. There was this guy, and I don't remember where it was. It was in West Hollywood, and this guy like showed, I want to say it was in an old Starbucks that's closed down because, sure. And he had like cheeks and chin.
Yeah.
And pulled up here.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing him and I don't know if I knew him before he got the surgery because it was strange. And he was like, hey, how are you? And I was like, I'm good. And he told me, he goes, I got my surgery to look like you.
Oh!
And I was like, what? He goes, yeah, I wanted a more defined chin like you. He goes, I've seen you out. I've seen you, like, at a couple places that I've been to. Like, I think, I'm pretty sure I was doing stand-up. Yeah, I was doing stand-up at the time. He's like, I've seen you, like, around. And I took a picture of you and took it to the doctor. And let me tell you, did not look like me.
I was going to say, did he look like you?
One bit. I was like, and I saw him recently. Like, I want to say, like, last week or 2 weeks ago, I was driving in my car and I saw him and I was like, that didn't age well. But like, yeah, I got the I was like, whew.
Yeah.
Just be happy in your own skin. And if that makes him happy, so be it. But
yeah, that has to be flattering though, right? Somebody's like, I just, because you said you don't know if you knew him before. Clearly in his sentence, he didn't know you before. Because he was I saw you around.
Yeah,
You didn't know him.
Flattering, but also terrifying.
Terrifying, because next step, he's going to cut off your face. That knife
he sent me the knife, yeah. It just says you on it. You. Yeah, but I was like, I remember him telling me that, and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
That is something.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
I ain't never had that. If you...
Okay, so say if a girl came up to you and she was like, I got my face just like yours. You're like, what in the Jordan Peele's going on here? You know what I mean?
Her face can't move. Like, hey.
It's just Nicole Kidman.
It's still wrapped up.
Oh, I love a bandaged woman, though. It's like my favorite thing. There's a bandaged woman in the House of the Fall of Usher, and she's just bandaged and just... Ugh, that's gross. Okay, more Halloween stuff. Let's get into some spooky stuff.
Okay,
are vampires real? I don't know. I mean, they're not, but like, I love the idea.
Yeah, like a vampire. I think vampires are
sexy. No?
Sure, they can be.
Yeah.
The idea of a vampire, I mean, they're up all night, right? They typically dress good. They are usually rich. Like, we ain't never really heard of no broke.
They're gay men. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They're, I like it.
I love it. I just love, they're immortal.
Yeah.
The AMC Plus series Interview with the Vampire is fantastic. It's Anne Rice's. Anne Rice wrote the book and she wrote the screenplay, but she had to rewrite the screenplay because it was a little too gay at the time. And the studio was like, Tom Cruise won't do this. And now I'm like, okay. But yeah, so it's real dark and like, you know, gritty. And the second season comes out in January. I highly recommend it if you haven't seen it. And her son actually wrote the screenplay for the series.
For this one? Oh, okay.
And it's just, it's haunting and beautiful.
Yeah.
And so in 2015, a survey was conducted by the Atlanta Vampire Alliance, because why not?
Yeah.
And they have found that there are at least 5,000 people in the United States who identify as real vampires. Known as sanguines, they are people who have blood fetishes and participate in various blood-related activities. Others simply identify themselves as vampires and, like the fictional characters, avoid sunlight and drink human blood from donors. There are also psychic vampires that feed in a completely different way. They steal the energy off the living. I think some of them actually work here. Some people just don't create energy that people normally make for themselves. As a result, they take it from other people to feel complete. So very much like the show What We Do in the Shadows, that psychic vampire, Colin Robinson, the character tirelessly bores everyone to death and feeds off their misery at having to engage with them. I think that's kind of interesting. I don't know.
First rule of being a vampire, and I know. First rule of being a vampire is you never tell anybody you're a vampire.
Right.
The moment you tell somebody you're a vampire, you got to make them your whatever it's called, right? You got to bite them, make them your slave, or you got to turn them into a vampire, right? Mm-hmm. So if you just sitting there taking a goddamn Family Feud survey, you ain't no vampire. You know what I'm saying? You are not no vampire. So, but we appreciate your time.
Now I'm picturing Steve Harvey's vampire. But blood-drinking vampires can be found on 6 of the 7 continents, according to Weiss. It seems to be a worldwide thing, and there are different forms, different cultures, different countries. The idea of vampires in New Orleans is a very, very old concept, believed to have been built on cursed ground. New Orleans has long been known as a city steeped in mysticism, voodoo, and the occult. But does it make New Orleans a vampire haven? Something a lot of people don't realize is exactly how many strange disappearances that New Orleans has in just the past few decades. So yes, he's saying there's like a cult and stuff, but like, there are people that I've seen in like documentaries who are like, I got my teeth filed down and I sleep during the day.
Uh-huh.
But I need, like, if you're going to be a vampire, I need you to manipulate.
Yeah.
I need you, but not like in a psychotic.
I need you to stand in front of a mirror and we don't see your reflection.
Yeah. Yeah. But I also,
I'm picking the mirror.
You get to pick the mirror. Yeah. You pick the mirror. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stand here. Let me see it.
But wait, the 7th continent was Antarctica, right? That's the one that they're not on.
No, they said, did they say, oh, they said there was only 6?
Yeah, they said 6 of the 7.
Yeah, so Antarctica.
It must be. It must be Antarctica.
I would love a snow vampire.
I would like that too, but if you think...
Wasn't there a movie about that? I feel like there was a movie about...
I would love to pitch that movie. Okay, so.
Snow vampires. Here we go.
It's like Ice Age meets. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Ice Age Frozen meets Interview with the Vampire. Yes. Elsa.
He's trying to bite, but he just can't stop chattering.
Yeah, it's a prince. He's been turned. It's Antarctica. Elsa and Anna have to, like, save the kingdom. But this is what I love about vampires. I love the, like, they can talk, you know, they're like psychic with each other.
Yeah.
They can
like clairvoyant.
Move. Yes. They can move really fast. They can turn into like a bat or a wolf or like, and they just have that like weird manipulation with like the elements and stuff. And they can see stuff because their like eyes are different.
Yeah. You know what my favorite vampire movie is?
What?
Guess. You'll never guess, but guess.
Well, you're from New York. Is it A Vampire in Brooklyn?
I was going to say, and if you guess right, you racist.
Well, you said you're Brooklyn.
You was dead on. You was dead right.
Did I get it right?
Oh, absolutely.
With Eddie Murphy?
Yes.
Got it. Yes. I got
Wait,
it.
Vampire, what's the one time
like,
they had a black...
New York.
The next one you was going to say was Blade?
No, I wouldn't have said Blade. No, I would have said...
She goes on runs and she likes vampire movies.
Oh, yeah. Blade. Yeah, no. Blade is a good one, though, but I wouldn't have guessed Blade. But no, my vampires have to be like... they need fashion.
Okay.
And they need fog.
Okay.
I love fog. I'm calling fog gay.
Okay.
Fog is gay.
Okay.
Because it always like... It just creeps...
Yeah, you know, it's just, an entrance. It's like,
it's definitely an entrance. Yeah. It's just like it's a mood. It's just creeps over the hills of a countryside at night.
Yeah.
You never know what's in the fog.
Yeah.
You can't see. You have to turn your beams on low.
Yeah.
You know?
Even on stage, when they do the fog on stage during a concert, it's like, this is just a prequel.
Mm-hmm.
This is just like. Yeah, this is luring you in. This is like, you know, in the cartoons when it was just like, you know, when
well,
it
like
would
the steam or the
yes,
smoke.
Yes,
would
yes,
yes. Like,
it would, yeah.
I love fog. Call me a fogget because fog is gay, everyone. I love this next story. This is about a girl who actually sleeps in a coffin and people call her a weirdo, but it's so comfy. Now look at this girl. And you can. So this is her coffin.
Okay.
And that's how she looks. She's got the fangs. She's on TikTok like a normal vampire does.
Uh-huh. It's
Wait,
like,
what is her name? Can we go back up? She said,
I sleep in a coffin. People call me a weirdo. It's like, girl, ain't nobody had to know you sleep in a coffin. Don't nobody know what type of bed I got in my house.
Yeah, like what?
You wanted us to call you a weirdo because you made it public.
You guys, leave me alone. I'm just like you guys.
Leave me alone.
I sleep in a coffin. But I do want to read a little bit of this article. If there is, is there? Okay. So she sleeps in a coffin and she doesn't understand like why we're making fun of her because she's being called a weirdo. She put up a video on TikTok with 1.2 million views. She says, I sleep in a coffin. Oh, she goes by the name of Sad Spice, who is the cousin to Ice Spice.
Mm-hmm.
And
the stepdaughter to the Spice Girls.
And stepdaughter to the Spice Girls. Mm-hmm. So she is like the vampire Spice that we don't really talk about because she makes the holidays weird. The pixie blonde Southerner frequently gets gussied up in various cosplay ensembles, which she uploads to her 600,000 followers on TikTok. So she's got acrylic clip-on vampire fangs. Oh my God, to look like the goth vampire from one... of the Blade films.
Look at us.
So she likes Blade.
Full circle.
However, Sad Spice raised eyebrows recently after revealing that she boasts a vampiric sleeping setup as well. And there she is. Where are her parents? I'm going to answer some questions about my coffin. She got the unpainted pine coffin from a place called Casket Builder. as the casket measures a whopping 6 feet 8 inches, what? For sure needs help when you're putting it together. Okay. Naturally, the sleeping arrangement might be uncomfortable and dangerous. There is 4 inches of memory foam in here. Okay. But she says she doesn't close the lid. It is not airtight. It is safe. Well, you're a coward. If you're going to give vampire illusion,
yeah,
close the lid.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty coffin, but it's this is basic coffin for me. I need a charger for my phone. I need, there needs to be some sort of an LED effect in there. I need to know if there's a white noise in there to help me go to sleep at night.
Yeah.
Is that blackout satin? You know?
Yeah. I definitely don't think she lives with her parents. I think she probably lives with her grandparents.
Why do you say that?
Because, you know, sometimes when people do, it's like, you know, that they're with an adult that is their legal guardian, but they just too old to really monitor you in that way. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And as long as she is in the house and safe, then the grandparents are doing their job. But other than that, they can't commit really to, you know, you could just tell she.
Could you imagine, though, just being a grandparent? You've lived a full life.
Yeah.
You've had adventures with your love, your spouse.
Yeah.
And then you've got. Yeah, sad spice.
Yeah.
Coming around, like hissing at you around the corner. You know, you're getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. She's about to go to bed because the sun's coming out and you're making breakfast. And she's like, and you're like, get.
No, they're like, you know, the kids these days.
She doesn't have a lot of friends. Yeah, no shit. Have you been to school? No, it's during the daytime.
It's different for us. They have a computer with millions of friends.
Wait. Along with sealing herself away from all of her problems and getting even with her parents, Sad Spice claims that her sleep coffin has also been a deterrent to undesirable suitors. It's a great way of weeding out potentially bad dates. No one wants to hang out with someone who has a coffin in their room.
I think she got that backwards. Yeah, because, like, is she saying a bad date is like, oh, nah, I'm out of here. That sounds like a reasonable guy.
Yeah.
But the guy that's like, oh, you got the coffin 2000? Let me get in. You know what I'm saying? That guy is.
Cascade Spaces.
You got the blackout satin? I don't know.
Yeah, I love that it's like. Guys won't like this. I'm like, you'd be surprised what guys will. I mean, can we go back up to the costume that she was wearing? Like that. I mean,
this person is only, because I was about to say this woman, but this person is only 14.
No. She's wanted a coffin since she was 14.
I was about to say, we got some deeper issues.
No,
here.
No, oh, like, my God. What kind of a 14-year-old is this?
In dog years.
Yeah. So she's just, you know, she's like that fun barista who goes to like cosplay.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, what do you think her job is? Besides, like, the $300 she gets a month from TikTok.
I'm going to say, because it could be retail.
Mm-hmm. I could see that.
But, like.
Like, her working at a Bed Bath & Beyond, the last one. You know that coffin was at that going out of business sale.
This coffin's gotta go. Liquidation sale, sale, sale. Want to sleep like the dead?
Cascade Spaces.
Oh, well, we have time for one more story. We went from vampires to Bigfoot. I don't know if you saw this story. I talked about it on stage over the weekend because it just fascinated me. Because here we have yet another mythological creature that's coming out of the woodwork after hibernation. If you were a child of the 70s, 80s, or 90s, you remember Bigfoot was like the thing. There's still shows that are like Finding Sasquatch and like... you know, Bigfoot hunters and all that kind of stuff. So this guy, Stetson Parker and his wife, Shannon, recently took a trip through Colorado to celebrate their 10th anniversary. They boarded the Durango and Silverton Narrow Gauge Railroad, a vintage train that provides historic and entertaining rides, according to its website. But what the Parkers saw from the last car on that train wasn't advertised online. The couple believe they spotted the most elusive of creatures, the Bigfoot. So, Sasquatch, Yeti, the mythological ape-like giant creature who maybe wanders North America, according to some, definitely exists, and who, according to most everyone else, definitely does not. The most recent spotting captured in a widely shared video from that train ride in Colorado adds to the growing catalog of sightings that have kept the myth alive amid a lack of what some might call verifiable proof. Mm. So this is the video. This is not Khloe Kardashian season one. But do you see it?
I don't see it.
Okay.
This looked like the set of Brokeback Mountain.
Well.
See, oh, now I see it.
Yeah. So he's just like, oh, that's. So he's like sitting in the bushes.
This is what they saw from the train?
Yeah. I believe it. Because not too long ago, there was a Bigfoot sighting in Mississippi.
Let me see it again. Yeah. Oh, look at that. He said, let me sit my
I mean, down. It's just out in the field. Like, yeah. Who, unless this is, you know, Vampire Girl and Bigfoot Girl are, like, getting together and making TikToks.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it looks pretty real to me. And I'm not a big supernatural, you know, I've always wanted that idea to come around. But then I started listening to this podcast, which I highly recommend, called Radio Rental.
Okay.
If you like spooky stuff and spooky stories, Rainn Wilson plays this owner of a video store called Terry Carnation.
Okay.
And it's a podcast where real people tell their, like,
scary stories.
Okay. And so this last week was really good. It was about this, like, skinwalker where, like, these girls were, like, walking down the street and they just see this, like, weird cat dog looking thing with backwards limbs.
Ah!
And they keep seeing it and seeing it and seeing it. And then someone was like, oh, yeah, this was a skinwalker. And they, like, Google it and they find out and they're like, that's what we saw.
Mm-hmm.
There's, like, rakes. I don't know if you know what a rake is.
I don't.
It's like this woodland creature that's like, can we pull up the picture of a rake? I want to scare Zainab real quick.
Oh, God. Because right now, you know, I'm thinking of a stick.
Yes, yes,
a
yes.
A fork at the end.
Yeah. So that's that. And it's like this creature that, like, lives out in the woods.
Okay.
And this guy was saying he was hunting in Texas and he was, like, up in the blind and he heard rustling in the woods and he saw this, like, slender creature coming towards him and it was sniffing the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, clawing up at the tree where he was, and then it sat down like a coyote and mimicked a human's voice and was like, help me, please.
Mm.
I'm lost. And he was like, oh, and, like, got out of the tree and, like, ran. Mm. And he was like, yeah, that was it. So I don't know. I feel like if we did see this,
that looks more realistic. The
with the deer?
Well, just the one next to it.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That one.
It just looks like maybe that's somebody that was starving and lost in the woods, you know?
Yeah.
And they caught him
That's actually Linda Evangelista before Photoshop. So I know.
But this one, you know, the other one where you really see the limbs backwards is weird.
Ugh, it's so, yeah, that's what I think the skinwalker was,
because
they were like, the limbs were backwards and we didn't know if it was a cat or a dog. So yes, I'm giving it, that's just a promotion to that podcast, especially during Halloween, because it's so, so fun and so good. And you'll listen to it and you're like, whoa. But Bigfoot, I think is real.
I just have one, I never really thought about it. And I don't think that we get the legend of Bigfoot. You know, I was a kid in the 90s,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think we got the legend of Bigfoot in New York City like that. I don't think that
was... What did you guys have in New York City?
Like, I guess real rapists?
Mm.
That's not equipment. The mob? I don't know.
There wasn't, like, urban legends of, like...
You know, for a very long time, like, I used to always be scared of, like, Jason, you know, and I would think, but I always felt safe being in New York City, because I'm like, Jason only gets you when you buy a lake and at a campground and, like, in.
No, but Jason went to Manhattan.
That's when I started fearing Jason. For years, I thought I was safe.
You're and like, then, oh, he goes to the camp.
I'm like, oh, that'll never happen to me. You see all them woods, you know? He got to climb up 17 flights of steps to get me.
Uh-huh.
And then they do Jason Takes Manhattan. And I said, oh,
yeah.
And that's when I moved to LA. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, you're like, and bye. But I feel, it's so funny, because I feel like there's, like, footage of Bigfoot and everyone's like, yeah, okay. Like, I'm like, what?
Yeah. But why don't they, if it's such, like, how is it such a big myth? And he's just right there, clear as day. He clearly can't move. It's not like he's doing, like, you know, 4-minute miles.
Yeah. Well,
right?
No, he sits in a hot tub and he gets exercise. Yeah.
So it's like, why can't they? Could have just easily called somebody at the Colorado. You see how quick helicopters come? And
yeah.
You can just, not that he should be caught, because, right, he's apparently not hurting anybody, but why can't there be very clear, like much clearer pictures and images and videos? Because like you guys have clear at this point, that seems like a, if it's real, that's a very clear sighting, a clear location. It seems like easily accessible.
Yeah. But I just think it's so interesting now that everything is just captured on film. Now we've got Ring cameras.
Yeah.
We've got all, you know, drones, yeah, all that kind of stuff. I don't know why it's taken so long to catch one, because I also feel like it's the same way with aliens. Everyone's like, are aliens out there? And it's like, we have images of the ships in the skies, mm-hmm, and strange lights and like little creatures in the bushes, mm-hmm, and, you know, these aircraft people being like, yeah, they're here. They're walking amongst us. Like, we had that happen like a couple months ago over, mm-hmm, the summer, and everyone's just like, okay.
Yeah. I was going to bring that up because I think it was NASA or somebody, they for Halloween, they put out this like contest, like, oh, if you catch a sighting of an actual alien on your Ring camera, submit it. But then also we're doing a contest, anybody that can create the best fake one.
No.
But that's what I'm saying. How do you like conflate the two things? Like, how do we now distinguish what's real and what's fake?
AI.
So that could have, they could have just took a video. You don't think with all the things we've seen on TV, you don't think that they put that Bigfoot in that video?
I don't know, but I want to believe.
Okay.
I want to believe. I know, because it says, the couple says it didn't look like a person. It looked more of like an ape, but didn't walk like an ape. The arms seemed too long. With the hands that reached down to its knees, it didn't look like anything I've ever seen before. I don't think it was a hoax. And if it was, it was a really, really, really good one.
It looked like somebody walking on stilts, you know, like at a circus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what it looked like.
Mm-hmm. Someone said it might have been a bear. It might have been a man wearing a ghillie suit. I don't know what that is. It's the camouflage clothing that helps outdoorsmen disappear into their backgrounds. But why would anyone be in a ghillie suit in the middle of elk hunting season? That's a surefire way to get any hunter to get shot. And it wasn't holding a weapon. I guess we'll never know.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see. That's the most famous Bigfoot sighting. That was from like the 70s. That's the one that all of us as kids saw. We were like, what the hell?
Yeah.
But I think that one was fake.
But that actually looks more like an ape.
But this one was taken back in, where was this one? This one was in California?
Yeah, that makes so much sense to me. They were filming Planet of the Apes, and the regular human guy was in costume, and then he was like, I'm gonna run a crafty.
I think you just solved the case of Bigfoot.
Yeah, man. How is this? This is not rocket science.
The whole time, Bigfoot was going to get a snack at the craft service table.
He wanted some peanut butter and celery.
Mm-hmm. He was like, I got to enjoy it now because there's going to be a strike in a couple decades.
It takes too long to get in and out of the ape suit. I got to go as the ape.
If someone wants Bigfoot for Halloween, that would be amazing. Maybe next year. I'll do that next year. All right, Zainab, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks
I hope you had
me.
Fun. Please tell all of our Just Sayers where they can follow you and find you, check out your special, all of it.
Oh, yes. On Instagram and Twitter, it's Zainab Johnson, Z-A-I-N-A-B Johnson. Mm-hmm. Website is Zainab Johnson. TikTok is The Zainab Johnson. And you can watch my special, Hijabs Off, on Amazon Prime. So, yeah, get it. Watch it, please.
Yes, and check her out. Make sure to follow her everywhere you go. And I just want to give a quick shout out to all the Just Sayers on the Facebook group. Thank you, guys. We are checking it all the time. We see all the stuff you're putting up. We are getting all the suggestions that you want us to talk about. So thank you for being there. And as always, we will see you next time on the Just Saying Podcast with Justin Martindale. Bye.
Bye.